I don't know how I made it without Jesus. I tried that for a long time, raised in a church, walked away from church, lived my own life, sinned every imaginable way, but Jesus was still there for me. And when I was ready to make a commitment to Him, He was still there. I'd burnt many, many bridges. I was in bondage myself. I'd ruined my marriage. We had ruined our marriage. We walked into a little Assembly of God church and really made Christ Lord and Savior of our lives. And we were never the same after that. And I'm so thankful. What I witnessed here Wednesday night, just especially for the young people that were here, God showed me a picture of what I saw Wednesday night 20 years ago in the old property. Where would we be without Christ? Isn't it wonderful to know the grace of Jesus Christ and the forgiveness that comes through Christ, eternal life that comes through Christ? Isn't it a wonderful thing for those of you that know to have that heavy burden lifted off you now, not just for someday, but to have Him by your side to get through some of the things that we navigate through on this earth? There is nobody like Jesus. If you don't know Christ as Savior this morning, and I tell you, He'll change your life and it's all for the better. He'll offer you eternal life and salvation, but He'll help you with worry, anxiety, hurt, heartache. I mean, He's a good God. He's a God of grace and a God of love, and He's real. He's tangible and He's real, and He works in our hearts, and He'll work in your heart too. The Scripture plainly says that when we confess our sins, not to a priest or somebody or anybody but Him, He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Aren't you thankful for the cleansing power of Jesus Christ? And if you don't know Him this morning, you can before you leave. Scripture says that He's the glory and the lifter of our head. What does that mean? That when I'm down, if you live on earth long enough, past about 3 days, maybe 3 weeks, maybe 3 months, you're going to walk through some dark valleys, because in this life there's dark valleys to walk through. But Jesus, when you have Him in your heart, walks with you every step of the way. So thankful for Jesus. I'm so thankful for Jesus. I'm so thankful for the salvation He gives and how He helps me day by day. I'm so thankful for Jesus, aren't you? I'm thankful in that little Assembly of God church that He set me free and washed me and cleansed me from all the misbehaviors. The Bible calls it sin. Bad behaviors, and I had reaped a terrible harvest. He saved me. He put my marriage back together again. He gave me hope. He gave me a future. And I was a young whippersnapper businessman already in the six-figure realm building my own furniture stores and thought I had everything and didn't have anything till I had Christ. I was the young whippersnapper in the growingest city, not only in Florida, but in the United States at the time, a businessman involved in the chamber, in the politics, thought I had everything, and I still didn't have anything because I didn't have Jesus. Because it doesn't matter what you have or don't have on this earth. If you have Christ, you have everything. There's nothing like the love of Jesus. There's nothing like knowing Him and walking with Him. And all the stuff is fine and dandy. Some of us have more than others. It's not about the stuff. Some are millionaires, some aren't. I don't have any problem with the poor or the rich. It's still all about Jesus. He makes life meaningful, and He gives us hope on this earth, and He gives us hope for our future in eternity. Whew, it's all about Jesus, everybody. Hey, Pastor Lawrence started using this word. It's all about Jesus, y'all. So, you know, we have plenty to give thanks for when we have Christ. And some, regardless of what we go through, I was thinking, and again, this isn't some deep, deep teaching today. It's just going to be an exhortation, and I hope that it's encouraging to you. But I feel right now that the Savior is pulling our hearts. that the power and the peace of Jesus Christ has fallen on this crowd, even if I was speaking. Not because I'm speaking, but because He's here and He's come and He's tangible. The Holy Spirit makes Jesus Christ a reality now. Can I get an amen? And I feel the Comforter in our midst, and I'm thankful. I knelt at that altar, and I was thankful that I could just come to a stage or an altar and kneel and thank Him for what He's done in my life. Remember, and it's been probably 20 years ago, and we were traveling out of town for Christmas. It was the 23rd. We left on a Sunday. I believe Sunday was the 23rd, and we were headed out to, I love Colorado. I love to go to the mountains. And we were going for Christmas for the first time. Had all our kids loaded up in our third or fourth caravan. If you got a big family, the old Dodge Scent caravans. And boy, when I got through with my third or fourth caravan, I'd never wanted one again. We loaded that thing up. We loaded Christmas gifts up. We loaded all the children up. And I let the, you know, I'm going to shake the hands. We're headed to your Ray. Houston was just, he was just like a teeny guy. Can you remember the trip, Kylie? Do y'all remember it? Houston, you were only 1 year old. You don't remember anything. Coulter, do you remember it? See, if Coulter doesn't remember it, you don't remember. Hey, I got a family situation here. Hold on a minute. I was bound and determined to drive to Uray, which is about a 10-hour drive from here, 10 and a half. Yeah, I could do it 9 and a half, but with kids it was closer to 11. You drive across the res and into Cortez, and some of y'all have been. We've been there with some of you. And we get not even out of Cortez, and guess what? Flat tire. Now, it's in the 20s, and there's snow on the ground. Now, Cortez is probably about a mile-high city, but we're getting ready to go over a 13,000-high-foot pass. So I'm bound and determined. Thank God we had a place to get off the side of the road. And, you know, I really did. I was thankful we weren't in a more precarious situation. And Trey, who was little, we unloaded the entire luggage, all the Christmas gifts, got out. Caravans didn't have a full tire. They have donuts. But we changed the tire, put the spare back where it belongs. Now, most wise people would have turned around and went back and spent the night to Cortez, but I figured, and being the farm boy that I was, I mean, you should have seen some of my first vehicles. They shouldn't even made it to town, and I drove them around the world. You should have seen my college vehicle. You didn't even have to open the trunk. You just had to reach through the side and the back and get what you wanted because of a big rust hole in it. That's right, $85 in the weeds. And so I was thankful. We got the donut on. We loaded all the gifts back up. I need to keep moving this thing. I told you this wasn't going to be very deep today, so hang on. We're going to Uray. Darla said, honey, are you sure we can make? We got to go over Lizard Head Pass. I said, we are going over Lizard Head Pass. We're going to be at the fireplace in Uray by midnight, 1 o'clock in the morning. So here we go, and you get about 20 miles out of town. You go through a little town called Dolores. Some of y'all have been there. And about 10 or 12 miles outside of Dolores, you are not going to believe what happened. Flat tire number two. Now, hallelujah, glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. I was thankful that I thought I was going to get there. But now we've gone up in elevation, and now the snow's 6 feet deep on the side of the road, and it's cold, and it's about 11 already on a Sunday night. No cell phone service. We tried. And here the Grays are with all their little children on the side of the road with nowhere to go. Thank you, Jesus. Can I get a thank you, Jesus? I don't remember how long we waited. Thank God we had plenty of fuel, so that means we had heat. We couldn't even get off the road. The snow was so deep. And if we had got off the road, we would have dropped down a ledge anyway. Boy, I was so thankful the Lord didn't allow us to pull off the side of the road. Well, I don't have two. Does anybody carry two spare tires? Has anybody had two flats in like 2 hours' time? Same car. Me and you. Goodness. Well, coming down the road, we see headlights. I'm out in the middle of the road. It's got snow and ice all over it. The car's still in the road. I wave them down. Wave them down. They pull over. It's two college kids coming back, and they left Telluride about 2 hours, and they're headed back to Cortez, and they've been snow skiing all day. And probably some other things. So we need to ride back to town. We got no help. So I get with Darla, and I said, okay, somebody's got to stay with the kids, and somebody's got to ride with them because we got to get some help. We're stranded. She looks over at those kids. They were from about here from Tim or Marcy's, and she looks at them. She says, I think if I have any trouble, I can take them. I'll go with them. That's exactly what she said. And I looked at them, and I knew she could. Thank you, Jesus. Ride to town. Thank you, Lord. Really was so thankful. I mean, we could have been out there all night. And does any of y'all, can you even imagine what it would be like in a caravan, trapped in a caravan with Houston all night? Now, I never throw my kids under the bus. He loves for me to joke with him like that in front of people. But you could imagine, couldn't you? Poor Coulter had to share a room with him for 10 years. And that's kind of why Coulter has a twitch to this day. We had no idea, son. He had to forgive us for that one. Houston liked to sing in the night. Now he's up here singing for Jesus, though. We just could have gotten to sing at church instead of in your bedroom at midnight. It'd been better, though, wouldn't it, Coulter? Anyway, I might not even preach today. I don't even know what's going to happen. I just know that I'm really thankful. And so they go back to town. We come back to town. It's a volunteer. Darla comes back with a young man. Probably he was young then. AAA, they called from the little town Dolores. AAA never showed up. So thank God an hour later, here comes a volunteer fireman from the big city of Dolores who was the Baptist preacher. Praise the Lord. We loaded up. He called for the tow people, took us to the volunteer. Now, there's probably 500 people in Dolores. I'm telling you, it's a metropolis. Took us to the fire station, pool table, warm, had the answer. Thank you, Jesus. We were so thankful that God sent the right people at the right time in a terrible situation. And so my kids, they just played pool all night, and we finally got to the hotel 2 or 3 in the morning, and thank God for Virginia and Della. Because it was Christmas Eve service, and you'll always get us tamales. We hadn't eaten a thing, so we borrowed the Holiday Inn Express kitchen to put tamales in the microwave, and we're eating tamales at 2:30 in the morning on Christmas Eve. Glory to God! Hallelujah! And didn't anybody ever get a bad attitude. We have so much to be thankful for. And that's a little crazy story about our lives. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Keep it up there, Stephen. I want to read it together. Give thanks and I don't hear you. Wait, Tyler, am I going to have to get you back up here to exhort these folks this morning? No, y'all are doing fine. I thought you did good, girl. Here we go. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Let me ask you a question. What is Don't you want to be in God's will? Don't you want to live your life in God's will? Well, what is God? Then there's a lot more to it. What is God's will for you today? Just for about a third of you, what is God's will for you today? In how many circumstances? How many circumstances? Good circumstances? Bad circumstances? Circumstances you don't understand? When you're down and out? When you're up and above? When you don't? Yeah. The spirit of Pastor Lawrence hopped on me. Now, if we are realistic with each other, can that be a challenge? Yes. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Some of my friends from Minnesota who come down was telling me a story not so long ago, and a neighbor lady come along, and her neighbor lady friend is out there shoveling snow. And I mean, in Minnesota, any Minnesotans, Michigan from here? I know we got Chicago. That's why Chris moved to Arizona. He got tired of shoveling snow. But anyway, she's shoveling snow. She said, "What are you doing out here shoveling snow? Your husband ought to be out here shoveling snow." She said, "Well, we drew straws. And I got, he's in with the kids, and I got the driveway." She said, "I'm so sorry for your bad luck." She said, "It wasn't bad luck. I won." And all the mothers said, but reminded me, I work, you know, all day, and Darla stayed home with the kids, and I get home, and all I want to do is be home. All she wants to do is get out of the house. I'm a little slow. It took me a while to understand that. And then I begin to go to work early. I begin to work late. Darla said I did. You know, one of the downsides of being in the ministry, you never ride to church together when you're the pastor of the church. One of the upsides of being a pastor of the church is you never ride to church together. I need a lot of prayer. Really, truly, and I know that we go through good times and bad times, but we really have it pretty good, don't we? I mean, don't we always have something to be thankful for? Especially in the U.S., and it's crazy, crazier maybe it's, but we really have it good. I mean, from minimum wage to millionaires, we still have it good in the United States of America. There should be, it's God's will for us to give thanks in all circumstances, and we need to give thanks. I want to take 1 or 2 seconds, and I want you to just thank Him for about 5 seconds right now, verbally. Lift up thanks to the Lord. Lord, we thank You. We praise You. We got so much to be thankful for, God. We have it so good. 1 Timothy 6:17 says this: "As for the rich in this present age, charge them not to be haughty, nor to set their hopes on the uncertainty of riches, but on God, who richly provides us with everything to enjoy." Folks, regardless of our pay scales or our socioeconomics, whatever we are here, Americans, we are still the rich of the world. God's not condemning being rich in this scripture, and we're going to talk more about that. We're the rich of the world. We have more than most of the world. We eat better. We have better homes. We drive better cars. We have better schools. We get to meet in a nice church building. We have it good. We are the rich of the world, and we don't want to be arrogant about it. We don't want to misuse all the wealth God has blessed our country with. Right? Look to your neighbor and say, "Did you know you're rich?" And we're rich in Christ if you have Christ. I get that. But if you make over $2 an hour, you're still richer than 90% of the people in the world. God is good. Look, there's people around the world that don't know where their next meal comes from that loves Jesus just as much as we do. Why did we get to be in the U.S.? Why are they in Tanzania? I don't know. God is good. God's been good to us. God is good to us. I want to show you a little video clip, and some of y'all remember back when the earthquake hit Haiti a few years ago. And this is a picture, and the CNN guy doesn't tell you, but they're praising God in the midst of devastation. They're praising Jesus. Stephen, can you run that for me?
Scene of hope in Haiti's devastated capital. Take a closer look at this. Despite the death and destruction all around them, hundreds of people, mostly women, took to the streets today singing and chanting as they marched, a sign of resilience and a determined will to go on. It's not the first time that such a display has been observed amid the rubble. Singing and clapping was heard well into the night in a large square that has become home to thousands of Haiti's homeless. Let's listen to a little bit more of that singing right now. People in Haiti demonstrated on the streets on this
Hallelujah.
Day as they're
good.
Singing,
Thank
mostly
you.
Women and children, to make sure that they know the world is watching them and that they are alive and determined.
Sometimes when you're going through difficult times, they just experience a major earthquake beyond imagination. And they're still giving thanks. I picked up a story from Richard Steams. He's the president of World Vision. He attended a church. Now, a church in this case was a big canopy. That's all that was there. In that church, there was probably somewhere around 50 or 60 people. In that church, he counted 6 people that had lost leg or limb. And they are praising Jesus and worshiping Jesus and giving Jesus glory and honor. It impacted his life. It changed his life forever. There was nobody praying louder than a particular single mom named Demosi. She had one right arm missing and one left leg missing, and she's still standing with a crutch, and she's leading the praise, and she's leading the worship, and she's leading all the glory that's going to Jesus. He found out later she was 32, barely escaped the rubble, lost family members, has 2 little girls, and is obviously unemployed. He would go on to talk to her, and you know what she would say? She said, I am deeply grateful and thankful that God saved my life. He would say to her, and I quote, He brought me back like Lazarus, giving me the gift of life, says Demosi, who believes she survived the devastating quake for 2 reasons, to raise her girls and to serve the Lord for many, many, many years. We need to give thanks. We got a lot to be thankful for. We may, this morning, you may feel you're in a devastating situation. I'll tell you what, do. Just begin to praise Him. Just begin to love Him. Just to begin thankful for what He's done in your life. Come on. It can always be worse. Walk to ICU today, and I tell you, it'll make you thankful. Walk the hospital corridors, it'll make you thankful. Walk into the mental hospitals, it'll make you thankful. Walk down to the inner city, it'll cause you to be thankful, thankful, thankful. God has been good to us. He's given us abundantly above and beyond all we could ever ask or imagine. We have it so good in America, and we enjoy it so much. Say so much. I like that. So much. 1 Timothy 6 and 17, again, I want to read it. But understand this, that in the last days there will come times of difficulty. And there's a few more verses. For people will be lovers of self, lover of money, proud and arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, and unholy. I jumped ahead on you. That's my last point. Go back to 1 Timothy 6:17. First Timothy 6:17 says this. Listen to me. Command those, and we've already read it once, those who are rich in this present world would not be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us everything for our enjoyment. Well, we just learned what the will of God was in all circumstances, and now God has blessed us for our enjoyment. Everything for our enjoyment. It can go down. What's that all about? The Lord wants to bless us. And He wants us to enjoy His blessings. It's pretty clear in the Scripture, isn't it? That He blesses us and sends us blessings so that we can enjoy them. Tangible blessings. Physical blessings. It's very clear in the Scripture. But we don't put our hope in it, do we? We don't put our hope in the blessings. When I first got saved, and some of you know this, I graduated from, Pastor Lawrence makes fun of me, so the Harvard of the South, really was, Center College, was considered that. Nonetheless, majored in history with a minor in business and economics, prepared myself to be an attorney. I was raised in a middle-class family that was extremely blessed. Hard-working farmers, dad had all kinds of businesses, but always blessed, always blessed. But I had a goal in life to be a millionaire. I wanted to be a millionaire by 30. That was my goal. And I had the opportunity. I got out of college. I moved to Florida. I ran a store for a chain of stores, furniture stores, big ones. I know Bob works at a big, big one. And a multimillionaire who was building commercial buildings, and I ended up building some commercial buildings with him, he noticed the success we were having at the store I was managing. So he said, hey, Dale, would you like to do this for yourself? And we talked about it. So he's the money man. I'm the management man. So multi-million-dollar backing. He made all his money buying property on I-95 exits in the 50s and then resold it all. So many stories. So multi-million-dollar backer with a multi-million-dollar opportunity. And we opened our first store. It was significant. We were doing very well. We were going to open our second store in the Orlando market. Had already looked at properties and identified properties. And we're getting ready to purchase another property because I wanted to build a chain of Kingston's fine furnishings. Now, all of that was going on when we got saved. I can remember I met with the associate pastor 2 weeks after I got saved, Pastor Roger Hackenberg. A few of you still know Roger. And we didn't know each other. And he said, Dale, what do you... He knew I'd been radically transformed. He said, what do you want to do? What are you doing? I said, I'm going to be a millionaire by the time I'm 30. He said, oh. Fast forward a year or two, and guess what happened? It won't happen to everybody, but it happened to me. God called me to the ministry. He did too, didn't he? At a Sunday night service, we used to do Sunday night at an old-fashioned altar of prayer. Before I went to the altar, God allowed me to see somebody's heart touched and transformed and their life turn around. I knew that I had to do that the rest of my life at any cost. And so I stayed at that altar of prayer for probably a couple of hours. Darla will tell you she was in the fellowship hall having cookies. Brownies. When I got up for that altar, nothing else mattered to me but serving him the rest of my days. Not the money, not the boat, not the house. It wasn't a very big house. It was a new house we built in our 20s. I went to my partner and I said, I've got to go back to school and I've got to, God's called me to the ministry and I can't stay. He said, Dale, you run the business. You can do anything you want. You can stay and do that, which I believe some people can. I get it. But I had to put it on the altar. And we actually went from young 20-somethings, and most of my friends were in dental school, medical school, law school, because we went to a college that trained professionals. I was already knocking down more money than they were. You know, they were accumulating student debt. I was buying boats and cars. And I thought I was living large and taking charge. But he saved me and he filled me with the Holy Spirit and then he called me. I didn't want to do anything else, and I told John, my business partner, John Fountain was his name, that I had to cut it loose. Dale, you can't cut it loose. I have to cut it loose, John. Do you realize what you're giving up? I do realize what I'm giving up. You got to cut it loose. So it took me a year to recruit somebody that could manage that store. And I cut it loose. And it wasn't that hard. For some people, they may have been called to keep it and build a big chain and finance the kingdom. It can work that way. People that make a lot of money and are very generous in the kingdom, God has blessed them. But for them, or a young man that thinks he's got the tiger by the tail, or somebody that don't have two nickels to rub together, it's not about the nickels, it's not about the money, it's not about the furniture store, it's not about the cars, it's not about the house, it's not about the boat every weekend. It has to be about the blessed sore, Jesus Christ. And it's not a rich or poor thing. If your focus is on what you're blessed with, even though the scripture clearly says we should enjoy those blessings, if you start enjoying the blessings more than Jesus, your life is out of balance. And that's why you can always give thanks. Because when money's tight, you can give thanks to the same Jesus. When you got more money than you know what to do with, you can still give thanks to the same Jesus. And the stuff that he gives us doesn't control his life because he controls our hearts. Somebody give me an amen. It's all about him. It's all about him. It's all, we built this little 2-bedroom, 1-bath house, and I mean, We just loved it so much. We moved out of a double-wide trailer with Jesus in our heart. We were happy. We moved into this house. We were happy. Just a little old, it really wasn't. It was 950 square feet, but I told everybody it was 1,000. I rounded up. But when I finally got my eyes off the stuff and got my eyes on Him, boy, we lived at poverty level for 3 years. Dad had a heart attack. I had to run his business and go back to school and live at poverty level. Didn't know where groceries were coming from sometimes and find them on the sidewalk out front or in our car. Sometimes we let the need be known. Other times we just let Him know. And He always provided. And He always took care. And He always blessed. And I'm telling you, I am so blessed now. I live in a nice house in a nice community. It's okay. It's wonderful. But I don't have any more joy. I got a great church. Y'all pay me really well. You really do. You love me and I love you. And you make me tamales during Christmas. Let your grandma know I said too. But I was just as blessed with Jesus in that little double wide as I am living in Las Cendas in the desert mountains. I have just as much joy then as I do now. I'm enjoying this part of my life. I'm enjoying what God's doing at our church. I'm enjoying the tangible blessings. And Lord willing, I'm going to get my pickup truck next year. Glory to God. Hallelujah. That's aside from the note. I'm saving. I'm stewarding. Four-wheel drive, and you're going with me to the woods, son. And if you thought we were going fishing, well, I got something else in mind for you before you marry my daughter. I just got to get a truck to get you deep in the woods, deep. We did second-hand clothes and third-hand clothes and fourth-hand clothes, and now we can go buy some new clothes. Paul Niles wouldn't buy them if he could. He's a Goodwill king. When you got Jesus, you got everything. Enjoy what He's given you, but don't worship it. Follow Him in your life path. Don't follow this. Don't follow that. Don't follow the stuff. Follow Jesus, and it won't matter.
And especially when it's good, don't forget Him. Been good, hasn't it? And so we need to express thanks, not just on a Sunday before Thanksgiving, but always live thankful. And now I'm ready for 2 Timothy 3:1 through 2. But understand this, that in the last days there will come times of difficulty. For people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, and unholy. You mean you wedged ungrateful and all that other garbage? It's in there. People will be ungrateful and unholy. Could it be that the two go together? Ungratefulness and unholiness. Have we ever been guilty? Are we guilty this morning of a lack of gratitude? How many blessings do we take for granted? Well, we've all been there and done that, haven't we? When I was in Tanzania, we were told, and I was in one of the remote locations, concrete block building about the size, twice the size of our youth center, student center, with no windows, mud parking lot, a little pavilion you could eat under. It's a pretty good sized pavilion, maybe a third of the size
this sanctuary. And I was told that these pastors, and they walked. There was two or three that had motorcycles, one or two that had cars. So we had to wait 1 to 2 hours for them to walk to come to the pastor's conference. You know, there's some U.S. pastors that are going to teach us. Feel full of joy, feel full of hope, excited about where God had planted them. And we went and we ate. Now, we were told they were going to bring us the best they had, and they did. Water, tea, soup, with a small piece of meat, maybe, in each bowl. And I'll never forget when they said the blessing before that first meal. The pastor began to thank the Lord for his abundant blessings. Lord, thank you for the food that we're about to partake. Thank you, Lord, for the privilege and the honor to be part of this pastor's conference. Lord, thank you for the water we drink. And I didn't even feel worthy to tie their shoes. Now, stop there. We don't have to apologize for how blessed we are, because God has blessed us. But when I heard a pastor with passion pray and thank God for water, you know what it did for me? It didn't make me feel bad that we had more resources here than they had there. It just made me want to be more focused than I ever have been on always giving him thanks. Right. Those of you that know me, and most of you know me to some degree, that's why gratitude is one of my personal core values. Not only to God, but to each other. We need to be able to say, Lord, I appreciate you. Lord, I appreciate your salvation. Lord, I appreciate all the blessings you sent me to enjoy and all the friends you gave me to enjoy. And I tell you, Darla and I really feel you're all the most wonderful people on the planet. We love our church. So it made me more grateful. And we need to express that gratitude to each other. That's the culture we want here at The Rock. I hope when I leave, not anytime soon, that you say, that pastor, he told me he appreciated me so much. Look for the good things God's doing in your life and thank Him. Look for the good things in people and appreciate them. And yeah, but they got these other flaws. Forget about that. Appreciate them for what's right. There's a time to grow and call each other on the carpet and all that. Don't misunderstand me. But find somebody in your life that's doing something right and just give thanks for them and give thanks to them. Right. My kids will tell you, I used to catch them doing things wrong all the time. Now, Coulter was the perfect child. Then one of my children one day said, Dad, you catch me doing things wrong all the time. I sure would like you to tell me when I do something right. Let's catch each other doing right things. Right? Like that big deal pickle I bought from you the other night. I was blessed, girl. And then I stacked about that many sliced dill pickles on my plate. If you've been eating on Wednesday night, she's the pickle lady. I'm thankful for you.
I'm having fun. I'm being a little silly. God has been so good to us. Give thanks in all circumstances. Okay, people? Let's do it. Let's keep just to touch somebody at the door with a good attitude that they may not be getting out there. Let's give thanks. Oh, it'll be worth it all someday when I see Jesus. Dear Jesus, can you imagine heaven? Now I've gone into ramble mode, but ramble with me for 30 more seconds. This whole message has been a ramble. The Lord said, time's up, boy. Thank you, Jesus. It'll be worth it all when we see Him. I'm being obedient. If you can be thankful for youth group spaghetti, you can be thankful for anything. But give them double what they ask and be thankful. I'm so thankful I got a great church. I'm so thankful that we have all multiple cultures. I'm so thankful that God has allowed me to pastor this church. I'm so thankful He called me to preach the gospel. I'm so thankful He gave me a beautiful wife. I'm so thankful He gave me wonderful children. And I tease with Justin a lot, but the day he asked for a hand in marriage, I said, I got a new son, and he will be my son. I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful that for the cars I drive in, even the stuff. I'm thankful. I go out in my back patio and sit in a hot tub and get out there and give Jesus the glory. Oh, I was just as happy with a hot shower and a double wide, but I'm telling you, the hot tub in a bigger porch is better. I'm telling you. I'm not apologizing for it. Hallelujah. I'm thankful I've got good friends. I'm thankful God's put key people in my life. I'm thankful for the bad times. I'm thankful for the good times. And I can't imagine how thankful we're going to be someday if you've got Christ in your heart to see Jesus for eternity. Be thankful. Be thankful. I saw a picture of my mother. Her birthday was this week. Darling, I've lost 4 parents in 3 years. And some of y'all have lost parents recently too. And we were all close to our parents and our in-laws. And in their case, I'm so thankful, darling. I'm looking at Mom's picture. She had a dynamite smile. Her birthday was November the 22nd. And I'm thankful someday when I walk through the pearly gates, I'm going to get to hug my mother again. I'm going to get to hug my daddy again. But that's nothing compared to get to see my Jesus, the one who died for me and you. I'm thankful. I'm thankful. I'm thankful. Aren't you thankful? Hallelujah. One more time, let's just thank Him, and I'll be quiet. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Well, I'm thankful for this day. Pastor Lawrence, if you will, and Gina, come with him, please. And then we're going to walk down when I ask the family to come.